Hi, I'm Kathleen Westfall. I'm the founder and artistic director of the Ninth Ward Opera Company.
Hi, Kathleen. So you guys have a couple of shows coming up next week, and the company started up last summer, right?
This is our second year.
So before we talk about the specific pieces you guys are performing, can you tell me about the company and why you started it last year?
Sure. I'm an adjunct professor at the University of New Orleans, and I also graduated there with my bachelor's degree a long time ago. When I was there, there was a pretty full opera program where we would perform at least twice a year. And since Katrina, that really doesn't exist anymore. So when I was teaching there, I have all these wonderful students, and they don't have any chance to perform theatrically. So I just started the program. I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to put on an opera. And I got all of these students together and a pianist, and we just put it on, and it was so successful. So many people came, and the students enjoyed it so much that I decided to continue. And we did performances of the Brahms' Liebeslieder waltzes in December of last year. And we did Pergolesi's La Serva Padrona and Schumann's Frauenliebeleben in the spring. And this summer will be our fourth set of performances.
So talk to me about the program. What are you guys going to be performing?
Sure. We're doing Gershwin's Blue Monday, which is a one-act opera. It's only about 25 minutes long, and it's tragic and dramatic. And then we're also doing Dan Shore's An Embarrassing Position, which is a lighthearted comic opera written by Dan Shore, who is a local composer.
He teaches in New Orleans, right?
He's a professor at Xavier, and he has written The Beautiful Bridegroom, Freedom Ride, Travel, The Chorus Girl, Downtown River, Works of Mercy. He's got quite a few operas that he's composed, as well as numerous children's musicals. He's also won the first prize in the National Opera Association's Chamber Opera Composition Competition and many other awards. He's just getting very well known for being such a wonderful composer for the voice. He writes beautifully. His music is accessible and very exciting. I think anybody would enjoy it, no matter how much exposure they've had to classical music in the past.
And the piece of Mr. Shore's that you're performing is called An Embarrassing Position. Can you tell me about it?
It's set in the 1890s in New Orleans, and it's based on a Kate Chopin sketch. So basically, it's about a man, Mr. Parkham, who is very respectable and is thinking about running for mayor. And he's been courting a young lady, and she's decided she's tired of waiting for him to propose to her. So she sets this whole scheme in motion to put Mr. Parkham in a very embarrassing position where they are caught together at night without parental guidance or anything like that. And June Jenkins, a local reporter, walks in and sees this situation. And so the opera is watching Mr. Parkham try to get out of this embarrassing position.
And to someone who hasn't heard it, how would you describe Dan Shore's compositional style?
I would describe it as incredibly accessible. I just think his music is beautiful and fresh, very melodic. He writes beautifully for the voice. I also really enjoy, of course, the one-act medium, the one-act genre. It tells a complete story with fully developed characters that all have their own arcs of, you know, drama, with a very short time frame so that people's attention spans aren't taxed too much. But the music itself, I guess, you know, harmonically and musically very interesting, but still accessible.
So we skipped over the Gershwin piece that you guys are doing called Blue Monday. Can you describe that one?
Sure. So this opera was written in 1922, and it was Gershwin's second attempt at classical composing. It was also considered the first piece of symphonic jazz because it joins the classical genre of opera with jazz and the African-American culture of Harlem. It's an all-African-American opera. It's tragic in 25 minutes. And it takes place in Harlem, like I said. It is set in May's Saloon, so a speakeasy. And it's a love story gone wrong.
They do have a tendency to go wrong, don't they?
Well, the second opera goes right. If you only want the happy one, come for the second half. But it's considered to be a jazz opera. It's very classical. You've got the soaring legato lyricism of opera and the high notes and all of that drama. But there's also quite a lot of swung jazz in there and some blues scales and things like that. It's a beautiful opera to listen to. It's similar to Porgy and Bess, and it's considered kind of foreshadowing. Porgy and Bess came 13 years later. So this is not as musically or dramatically sophisticated as Porgy and Bess, but it shows you where Gershwin is going in his compositional style.
And where are you going to be putting these shows on?
Well, we do most of our productions at the Marigny Opera House. Dave Hurlburt and Scott King own the Marigny Opera House, and it is an old cathedral that they've turned into a performing arts space. It's a beautiful place in the Marigny. I think everybody should go and check it out. Their website is marignyoperahouse.org, by the way. And so since it's in the Marigny and since I'm using local young singers, we are doing pieces that would draw in a local audience and also an audience that might not have previously had much exposure to opera. So young people, local people, people have previously thought that opera was boring, long, Italian. We do things that are short, funny, and in English. So that's why I usually choose one-act operas.
So no complete Ring cycle from you guys anytime soon.
I don't think so.
What kind of musical accompaniment are you using?
So far, we've only used piano accompaniment. For Brahms' Liebeslieder waltzes, it's actually four hands on piano, so two pianists, but one piano. If I could get more grant money in the future, I would love to use a chamber orchestra. Mm-hmm. I think that would be very exciting. Mm-hmm. But right now, the focus is really on allowing local singers to perform. These local singers, not only from UNO, but also from Southern, Dillard, Loyola, Tulane. We've got students from LSU, from Southeastern, so desperate to perform, they're willing to drive to come and do these shows. It's just invaluable experience for young singers to get a chance to perform as soloists.
Last time we talked, I remember you saying that you had started the Ninth Ward Opera Company up partly because you thought there was a lack of this sort of thing going on in the city. Is that correct?
I think so. You know, whenever I had to leave the city because of Katrina and went to New York, I got so much experience in small opera companies. It was everywhere. I could just audition, and I got into all of these little opera companies and got so much experience, and it really beefed up my resume and my, you know, understanding of my craft, so that I was able to get my master's and get my doctorate and, you know, pursue my career. Whereas in New Orleans, if people want to stay in this city, there's just not enough opportunity for them to perform, get the experience they need, learn what they need to learn. So there's this side of me that wanted to start the company so that young singers could get some experience under their belt. If they want to continue, they'll at least have something on their resume. They'll know what stage left and stage right is. They'll know how to act, move, sing, memorize, you know, all of these wonderful skills that you need to know. So there's that half. And then the other half is, I really believe in opera. I think it's an incredibly powerful genre of music. I think it has to be live. I think you have to be there and feel the power of the human voice coming at you over a piano, over any other noise from other singers. How powerful and versatile the classical singer's voice can be is something I believe can touch anyone if they give it a try. And I want more people to experience that. I want people to give opera a chance.
And the performers are mostly students studying here in New Orleans, right?
Primarily. We have students from Xavier, Dillard, LSU, Tulane, Loyola, and UNO.
So since the company started last year, you've managed to pick up some grant money, is that right?
This is our first production that's partially funded from the Jazz and Heritage Foundation. So last summer, I applied for their community arts grant and received it. So this summer I'm paying my singers. It's very exciting. And so I'm, you know, constantly applying for grants and trying to build the company. So if anybody out there has any tips for me or help on that front, I would love to receive it. You can also visit our website at ninthwardoperacompany.com.
So the performances are starting next week. Any nervousness?
Oh my gosh, everybody's thrilled. Dave Hurlburt and the Marigny Opera House have given us a small costumes fund. So we're going to be in period costumes too, which is really exciting. We've mostly done kind of pull that out of your closet costumes up until now, but we have real costumes this time. So
exciting.
Very exciting.
And do you guys have anything planned in the pipeline for after the summer?
Yeah, we have the Marigny Opera House Christmas party planned, and that's going to be December 21st. We're doing selections from Purcell operas, so we're hitting up English Baroque music for Christmas.
Bit of a step back.
Yeah. And that's for Friends of the Marigny Opera House. You can go to marignyoperahouse.org for information about that. And then in the spring, we're going to be doing Samuel Barber's A Hand of Bridge and other works from Samuel Barber. That's a 10-minute opera about, like, slice of life, kind of, a little bit about each character as they're sitting around a table playing a game of cards. It's very funny. And if you've ever heard Samuel Barber's music, it is just out of the box and in the box at the same time. It's crazy. I think you should totally check it out. And other selections of his. I'm also hoping to do another one-act opera that would be an American premiere, but I shouldn't talk about it yet because I'm not sure yet. And then we have huge plans for next summer, but I've decided to keep those a secret just now. So I'll have to let you know later about those.
All right. Well, the performances are on the 25th through the 28th at the Marigny Opera House on St. Ferdinand Street. Where can people get tickets?
You can buy tickets at marignyoperahouse.org. It's $20 general admission, $10 for students and seniors. Please come check it out. You can just show up or buy them in advance.
All right. Well, thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you so much.